WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. We start today with the verdict in the Bradley Manning trial. Manning is the Army intelligence analyst who supplied classified and some unclassified documents to WikiLeaks. Yesterday's verdict, as you've been hearing in the news, is not guilty on the most serious charge of aiding the enemy, but guilty on five counts of violating the Espionage Act and many others. Add that to the 10 lesser counts that Manning has already pleaded guilty to. He faces up to 136 years in prison. Experts say he won't get that many. Sentencing began this morning. It is expected to take up to 2 weeks. Let us discuss this verdict, what it means for the military, what it means for the press, with Arun Roth, a former Frontline reporter. He's been covering the Manning trial. He's also the newest host of NPR's Weekend All Things Considered. Hello, Arun.
Hi, Mike.
Congratulations on the new gig, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fred Kaplan's also here, war stories columnist for Slate. I guess, Fred, you're the old war horse in this conversation. Thank you for joining us, Fred.
Good to be here.
So, Fred, I suppose that the big headline, literally, was the not guilty on the big charge, although for Manning's freedom, that maybe doesn't even amount to that much. It's possible he'll spend the rest of his life in jail. But what would a guilty verdict have meant there?
Well, a guilty verdict on aiding the enemy, I mean, the logic that was being used by the prosecutors on that was Manning leaked this stuff to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks provided it to the New York Times. The New York Times stories and subsequent WikiLeaks cables were read by Osama bin Laden, and he felt good about it. Therefore, you know, by that logic, the New Yorker could be found guilty of aiding the enemy because Seymour Hersh's articles about Abu Ghraib might have inflamed and you could make a factual case that they were used as a recruitment tool by Al-Qaeda worldwide.
Well, forget recruitment. If feeling good about it is the standard. I mean, you've interviewed David Petraeus. You've talked to a lot of commanders off the record. Maybe they told you some things they would have. You might be able to be charged.
Or Bob Woodward's books. I mean, those things are just rife with highly classified information. You know, is somebody going to find, you know, Bob Woodward and the Washington Post and Simon and Schuster guilty of aiding the enemy? It's an absurdity. So it's very good that now again the judge has not released the reasoning behind her verdict, which she will do.
Yes.
But it seems that she rejected the logic of the entire charge, which also calls into question the sort of absurd breadth and vagueness of these kinds of laws anyway. It would be very good. You know, there's also the same thing is true of the Espionage Act under the U.S. statutes for civilians, that they're equally vague. It would be good if those could be tightened up a bit.
I don't know that that's on the agenda now, but Arun, what do you think from observation, what didn't the prosecution do in getting that big charge to have returned a guilty verdict, aiding the enemy?
Well, you know, they laid out a lot of goals in their opening argument, things that they said that they were going to prove that they just did not do in the end. They came out of the gate saying that they would show that Bradley Manning had direct contact with Julian Assange, that basically he was taking marching orders from WikiLeaks. They promised that, and they just didn't deliver. And in the end, one of the issues around this, the things that he was convicted on, They were not required at that point to show damage that was caused, just the potential for damage. So, you know, the bar on that for conviction was lower. But in terms of the aiding the enemy, the prosecution just did not connect the dots that, you know, as Fred laid out, it was considered by a lot of people pretty far reach to apply aiding the enemy in a circumstance like this. I mean, it hadn't been used in this way since the Civil War, and even a lot of people would say that case is not quite like this. So it would have been, again, as Fred was saying, pretty unprecedented.
You know, it's a legal strategy in all sorts of courts, not just military, to sometimes overcharge, and maybe the motivations aren't exactly that we'll think we'll get a conviction on that charge, but some other motivation might that have been at play here.
Yeah, and I think there's also, you know, in the military, it feels like, you know, I've seen that there's a tendency to, you really want to hold people to a higher standard. So the prosecutor might have felt that because, you know, this young Army private, you know, broke the rules so flagrantly, and they laid out, you know, how he was briefed on all the ways in which he was not supposed to let this material out. They might have just felt like throwing the book at him.
Mm-hmm. Fred,
well, but, you know, the
ahead,
other
Fred.
Thing is, though, they overcharged anyway. I mean, there's something like 15 counts under the Espionage Act, which most of which consist of, you know, different pieces of a unitary act, you know, like if it would be as if, you know, Mike Pesca raised his right leg, you know, lowered it,
yeah,
raised his left leg, walked right into the room, and you know.
And it was specifically things like he downloaded the information, he put the information up on a website, he
right.
held the information, he held the information on this date.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But this is why, and Arun, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the guilty counts seem to be legal experts are sort of saying the judge will acknowledge this, that there are, you know, of all the number of guilty charges we read, they're really for the same act. And this is why 136 years is unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, they're parallel, if not kind of flat out redundant in the ways that Fred said. So it would be likely that, again, I think it's very unlikely that maximum sentence is going to be served. It'll probably be laid out concurrently. And there's also the possibility that the commanding officer, the Military District of Washington, Court of Washington, could even lower that at some point as well.
Now, Fred, I think you were one of the people, I've read a few commentators who were saying, even though the aiding the enemy charge, there was a not guilty on that, just the fact that it was allowed to go so far, beyond what we've been talking about, beyond the fact that, you know, maybe this was a prosecutorial overreach, there are some implications for what that means and some implications for some of the other government employees who are either on trial or going to trial.
Well, it's very interesting, and I wasn't aware of this. I have to give credit to Stephen Aftergood of Secrecy News. In the indictment against Stephen Kim, who was the State Department official who leaked some information about intelligence findings on forthcoming North Korean nuclear tests to a Fox News reporter, deeply buried within that indictment, part of their legal reasoning is based on some quotations from Judge Lind in the Manning case. So, you know, some people are saying, well, there's no precedent here. I mean, this is a military court. You know, if Seymour Hersh were to get hauled before, you know, a court for something like this, it would be a civilian court. It works differently, and that's true. But precedents can be found, parallels of legal reasoning can be found wherever a prosecutor or a judge wants to find them. So I think it's a good bit of news for the cause of free speech generally that this judge dismissed the aiding the enemy clause,
mm-hmm.
because that is the one that could have, at the very least, created a poisonous atmosphere, and it's already pretty tainted, but a poisonous atmosphere for investigative journalism, for, you know, relations between reporters and their sources, between low to mid-level officials and senior officials who seem to leak things at whim and will. So, yeah, this, I think, was... Again, Bradley Manning is still going to go to jail for a long time. I agree with Arun, not for anywhere near 100 years. Probably more like 20. I don't know. I think when he pled guilty to those charges, he assumed that he would probably get 20 years.
Yeah, going into the trial.
Yeah, so it'll be at least that. But for the cause of free speech and trust within government and that sort of thing. I think the people who have wanted to use this case combined with, you know, what might be a case against Snowden as sort of setting new precedents for going after these sort of things, I think they received a major setback.
So, okay, so you're definitely more sanguine than WikiLeaks, who writes in a statement, this is the first ever espionage conviction against a whistleblower. It's a dangerous precedent, an example of national security extremism.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it's the first conviction, and it depends how you define whistleblower. You know, Daniel Ellsberg, when he leaked the Pentagon Papers, one of the charges against him was the Espionage Act.
Yeah.
Now, the case was thrown out of court because, you know, Nixon tried to offer the judge a senior job in the FBI, and there were all the malfeasances with burglarizing Ellsberg's
His office.
But, you know, Dan Ellsberg, you know, he did what he did, you know, thinking that, yeah, he might very well go to jail for the rest of his life. And he thought the cause was important enough that he was willing to take that risk.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, speaking with Fred Kaplan of Slate, Arun Rath, who's been covering this trial mostly for Frontline. Arun was identified, I think, today for the first time as an NPR correspondent, if I'm getting that right. Arun, yeah. We just heard Fred talking about a lot of the free speech and First Amendment issues. Is that the right context to view the trial in? It's natural to do so. How do you view it?
Well, it was one of the things that I thought was most peculiar about this trial that I never thought I'd see in a court martial, and probably Judge Lynn didn't either, a vigorous debate about the nature of journalism in the digital age. It was really kind of peculiar that, you know, just exactly what WikiLeaks was, what it meant as a, you know, was it really a journalistic organization? All of this was being hotly debated to, you know, in the context of, you know, could leaking into WikiLeaks really mean aiding the enemy? And so it's sort of curious again to say what this might mean beyond a military court. I know that you know, Julian Assange has said things along the lines of this is another indication of the Obama administration's you know, stance or crackdown on whistleblowers or war on investigative journalism. And leaving aside the question of whether or not there's a crackdown on whistleblowers from the Obama administration, I think it's probably a stretch to think that a military prosecutor would be taking marching orders from the Obama administration.
Right. And in those defense, the Department of Justice prosecutions, there's some question about if these prosecutions should have even been brought. People criticize them and saying, you know, it's at the discretion of the Department of Justice. And it's people are saying the Department of Justice may be being overaggressive. There is no question that once Manning's deeds were exposed, a prosecution, a military prosecution, was going to be brought. Everyone knew that. Manning knew that. And that is different from some of the other leakers.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Fred, you can go.
Well, yeah, and the Justice Department, I mean, these things really are separate. The Justice Department has nothing to do with this. Look, people say, oh, you know, free Bradley Manning. I mean, look, the thing is, this guy was a military. He wasn't even an officer. He was a private. You take an oath. You're given access to a ton of secrets. If you leak the secrets, I mean, or do anything that goes against the oath, and you know, this guy leaked an enormous cache of material. I mean, you know, what one criticism of it is that so much of it was just indiscriminate. A lot of it was just, you know, detritus and memos and things having really nothing to do with anything that might affect one's opinion about the war.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just leak all of this stuff and get away with it. You know, now it's true that I agree completely. Remember in the early days, they were treating Bradley Manning like crap. I mean, you know, they were making him sleep naked in jail and constant searches. And clearly they were making an example of him.
And they admitted error in as
yeah,
far
did.
As the nakedness.
They did.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of I'm not justifying any of that at all, but
right.
Part of criminal justice, civil or military, is to deter future crimes. And, you know, I think it worked. I mean, I think it's – remember when Manning's secrets came out and WikiLeaks, the common conversation was, oh, this is the future of leaking.
Yeah.
There's going to be a half a dozen more Bradley Mannings in the next few weeks. And there really hasn't been any.
Well, there's a parallel to Snowden.
Which I find kind of astonishing.
It's not military, but there is a parallel to Snowden. And it seems that maybe Snowden learned from Manning in what you were talking about, the indiscriminate nature of the leaks. And Snowden says, you know, he self-edited. And also, he just didn't lay on the journalistic organizations that he contacted with. He didn't lay on them a billion documents that they couldn't even sort through in time for publication,
Manning did. Snowden is in deep, deep trouble if he ever comes back, because there is something called the National Security Act, which applies specifically to leaks of signals intelligence, communications intercepts, that kind of thing. And, I mean, that law used to be so strict that it was technically classified even to talk about the existence of photo reconnaissance satellites, or even to talk about the existence of any programs that involved intercepting communication. So, I mean, any kind of serious leak, even if it was just one document, under the National Security Act, you're going to jail for a very long time. And Snowden must have known this. Discriminate, indiscriminate. I mean, that law is so. Take a look at that sometime. It is really, you know, it's like, you know, the good cop, bad cop. It is the bad cop in the room, you know, threatening to throw you in jail and lock you up and throw away the key for the slightest indiscretion.
And go ahead, Arun.
No, I'd have to say, you know, underscoring as a precedent for the military, I don't see it having much legs to it either. And Bradley Manning was very atypical soldier. And it's sort of hard for me to. It's been interesting, Mike. I've encountered across the military diversity of viewpoints on very controversial topics. Don't ask, don't tell. Even people who don't think that the war in Iraq may have been justified. On Bradley Manning, soldiers and Marines I've talked to, active duty, to a man and a woman, all of them just think he should be shown no leniency whatsoever. It's been really striking.
And Fred, to go back to your point, it is odd that Snowden's crime you just laid out, that the statute he violated, seems to be much, much more serious than Manning's. And yet all these legislators have lined up to say that the information we glean from what Snowden put forth is valuable to the public. President Obama says that. No one ever really, you know, Obama or the president never said that about Manning's leaks. Here I have Susan Collins of Maine saying, I believe the information Manning disclosed was extremely harmful to our country. It's not in the same category as Edward Snowden's betrayals, but it's very serious nonetheless. So Snowden seems to have, there's more acknowledgement that Snowden contributed to public knowledge and the public discourse, and yet at the same time, there's also the reality that he faces much more serious charges.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, you know, this is what civil disobedience is about, right? I mean, it's somebody willing to go to jail for coming out with information, but still, that, you know, here's the thing, you know, whether you're a military or a civilian, you sign an oath saying you will not divulge, et cetera, et cetera. And if you come out with a lot of stuff and a judge or jury says, well, you know, actually, this was a really good leak, I'm glad this is out here, then it kind of breaks down the entire system. You know, one other thing, you know, this hasn't been mentioned at all, as far as I can tell, including not by me in my own column. Manning was found not guilty of one other charge, and that was the charge of the leak of the video showing the helicopter, mistakenly or not, shooting, you know, the Reuters reporter and a lot of innocent civilians. And he was found not guilty because of doubts about the timing of this leak. But still, to my mind, the one leak by Manning that really did speak to, you know, what he said he was doing, which was uncovering malfeasance and possible war crimes and so forth, it was really the leak of that helicopter footage. And he was found not guilty of that.
That was actually the leak that his own defense played to show his moral conflict as well.
Right.
Yeah. And that wasn't even classified information, even though when Reuters requested it, they were stonewalled. Is that right?
That's why it was not. There was a big dispute over when he leaked this, as to whether it might reveal something about ongoing tactics or something. So, but still, that it does. Again, I don't think this was the intention of the judge, but it does leave open for somebody contemplating doing something like this some distinctions between distinctions among leaks.
Arun, you've been going to the trial quite often. Bradley Manning must be a fascinating character to you. During the trial, he seems to be a bit of a cipher. I've learned much more about him from his chats with Wired that were leaked beforehand. What do you hope to find out about him personally in this upcoming sentencing phase?
You know what? I don't know if there's much more that we can learn about him personally. We've learned a lot about this young man's personal life, in part because just the media have a sort of sordid interest in the personal lives of figures like that, but also because it's actually been a real issue for him legally. You know, his own defense team has brought up the fact, you know, issues around his instability and trying to show a certain amount, I think, of irresponsibility on the part of the military. The fact that they had this young man, he was so unstable that they took away his service weapon, but he still had his clearance, his security clearance.
Yes, his commanding officer at one point said, "I worry he's a spy," and yet only wrote him up for drinking too much coffee.
Right.
And the other question I want to ask you, Arun, we've been talking about how important this is for journalism, yet so few journalists were covering the trial. Have you been able to puzzle that out?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. There have been times where there have only been one or two journalists there. And what's amazing is a lot of the time it's these fairly activist journalists, people who are very much in the pro-Bradley Manning camp, who were there and dedicated to covering it. There's also been a lot more foreign press there at any given time than the U.S. press. I'm not quite sure what it's all about. I mean, part of it is they've not made it easy to cover, for one thing. You know, they've not made court filings available, the court docket. It's hard to know. There have even been times when they've had court in session and we haven't even been notified about it.
Yeah, and they're under no obligation to do so. They're not under the obligation to do that, like a civilian court is, but still.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, and some of the minutiae of military law that's being gone over in pretrial hearings, maybe that's too much for people. But I wonder if there's just a certain amount of fatigue about the sort of things that Bradley Manning is reminding us about, you know, about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, about, you know, the prison in Guantanamo, you know, all these files that he released are honestly, I think, things that a lot of Americans would just as soon forget.
Yeah. Although if you compare the, you know, news value to this trial, too, I'm not even going to say Jody Arias. I'll say something like Whitey Bulger. It's totally disproportionate.
But, you know, I covered the Oliver North trial. Back, which dates me, I guess. But that trial, you know, went on for a month or so, and there were at least a dozen reporters covering that thing every single day, including network TV correspondents who filed a nightly report on what was going on. It is a little stunt. Now, obviously, you know, you're there in the courtroom. There is drama going on. There were some very flamboyant lawyers on both sides. Oliver North, you know, was a hero to a lot of people. The Reagan administration was still in office, you know. But yeah, I do find it a little strange, the scantiness of the coverage of this case.
Well, I figured it out. There's no Fawn Hall figure in the Manning case.
Well, maybe so. That could be. Yeah, there's no woman. No woman.
Fred Kaplan of Slate, Arun Rath, newly of NPR. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. Up next, another question of justice, slightly lower stakes, Alex Rodriguez. Stay with us.